for those listening to KSBN Money Talk Radio, buying physical precious metals for less than what I can pay for them, stay tuned. I have a way you can support this show and secure what I believe is the best price for precious metals on the existing market. In our first commercial break, I will explain this in more detail. And now, let's get on with Reclaiming the Republic. Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This is G.R. Mobley. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. If you go to ReclaimingTheRepublic.org, you can download our podcast and support documents and links. This is an educational, grassroots program designed to restore the Republic and placing the general government, or what many refer to as the federal government, back into the constitutional framework and scope of the Constitution. Our toll-free number to call in is, as always, 844-320-4299. So I have a lot of listeners who are very protective of calling. They don't want to give up their caller ID. They don't want to be put on a phone list, or they don't want to be monitored. There's coming from the intelligence community after working in 38 years in the intel community, a lot of the people that I work with are very apprehensive of having any ties, associations to things that tend to call out the tyranny that we're dealing with. And it's not, so every time I talk to people regarding the government and the government being the problem, I don't think that people really put it into context of who is the government. Is the government Trump? No. Trump's a representative of the government. Who is the government? It's we, the people, we, the sovereigns. And so when we, the sovereigns, are the problems, then, you know, it's fixing us that we have to worry about. And so for years and years, I've tried to explain this to people, but I understand most people's apprehension. So when you do call, if you're not comfortable with providing your real phone number, because we don't have caller ID technology here with our toll-free number. It's interesting that this toll-free number system is old, archaic technology, because who pays for long distance anymore? I mean, seriously, why would you go to a hotel and use their phone system and then charge a toll? I mean, they don't even pay the toll bill, but they're capable of billing you for it because it's an old archaic system that they use. And so it's the same thing with these 1-800 numbers. So if you call in, we're not going to know your number. We're not going to know who you really are. So if you want to give us a fake name or what have you, then that's great, especially for the air. If you don't want people to know who you are, I'm okay with that. The point I'm trying to make is that I will need your name and your real accurate information if you win a book, or if we're trying to get something to you, or so forth. So if we have to do post-conversation correspondence, it's important that you send me an email or you give me the information and so forth. So anyway, again, that toll-free number to call is 844-320-4299. As I always say, many parts of these shows will refer to previous shows, and these shows build off of each other. And this is, as I've always said, an educational grassroots show. Consequently, to stay abreast with all of this information, because it all dovetails, it all basically meshes, you have to listen to these podcasts and so forth. And so what better to do when you're driving, if I'm not live on the air now, or you don't live in an area where they're broadcasting me as of yet, then just download the podcast and listen to me during your commute or what have you. That way you can at least pull in context, you know, all these founding document citations and all this other data that I'm putting together for you, so that you kind of understand republicanism and a republican form of government, because that's kind of what I've been talking about for the past few weeks. So don't forget, you can download these podcasts at reclaimingtherepublic.org. As far as local announcements, I know here in the city of Spokane or Spokane Valley, they lost a great leader, And it's my belated sympathy because I know it happened a few weeks ago, but I didn't get the information, and then I was unavailable last week, so we did a rebroadcast. And so now that I'm back, I wanted to make sure my sympathy went out to the Hollenbeck family for the loss of Marlene, or Marty Hollenbeck. She was the owner of Dishman Dodge, and she passed away suddenly on April 15th at the Valley Hospital. And so understanding how hard that is, and the older you get, the more you understand how difficult it is in dealing with the passing of a loved one. My heart goes out to the whole family out of Dishman Dodge, especially her immediate family. And I hope that they're well on their way of, you know, putting this into the best context possible, because it was, as I understand, a really, she was healthy, and then she got sick and passed away in a matter of hours. So it was kind of a shock for a lot of people. Anyway, I also said a couple of weeks ago that, you know, when I frequent, or when I go into a business and I do a transaction, and the business does a, you know, a real honest thing, and, you know, just imbues the integrity that I would want to associate with, and that happened with Quam's Watch Center. I'm pretty much a solid Quam's Watch Center supporter at this point. So anyway, if I happen to, you'll never know, because you may not know my face, if I walk into your business, and if you, you know, treat me honestly, and you give me, you know, the integrity and the fair business that I would expect you to give me, then I'm going to be mentioning you on this radio show, because I believe that those types of things need to be done. I mean, it's easy to get up and complain about something. And as a matter of fact, I point this out to a lot of people, that when you go to dinner and your steak isn't cooked right, you know, do you hesitate to complain? No. And as a matter of fact, I commonly see in restaurants, you know, on an average night, you'll see somebody complaining, the waiter, the maitre d' out there trying to explain that a mishap had occurred, and it happens. The problem is that that's all we do is complain. When's the last time you asked for the cook to come out and compliment the cook on such a great job in cooking that steak, or in providing those products on that plate for you that exceeded your expectations? We don't make good comments. We don't recognize people for when they do good. And so I don't want to be a complainer. There's plenty of complainers on the radio today, and they all complain, and they have zero solutions. And that's one of the things that I believe is completely different about this radio show, is we're solution-based. I have the information that you need, and I believe you will draw the same conclusions that I will, that we have the power and authority to take this country, put it back on track, and we can do this from a local level, state level, and that's where it needs to be done, is local and state. And we're talking all about that and educating you about that now. More local announcements, though. Stevens County Lincoln Day Dinner is this Saturday up in Colville. And so if you haven't got your tickets, you might be able to get one. I'm planning on attending, and I expect it to be a great time. Last year, it was a lot of fun, and this year I'm expecting the same. So they'll have a professional auctioneer auctioning off some stuff. And my favorite part of the auction is the desserts. They feed you a great meal, and then they have all of these really tempting desserts, and you get to fight other tables for trying to get that best cheesecake or whatever it is you want. But anywho, the Spokane County GOP, again, they're hosting their Lincoln Day dinner, and I'll have more information on this after this next week, or starting next week. But they're hosting theirs on June 3rd. So you can get tickets. Still, I believe they're still available. So you want to hurry up, because I think last year they sold out, and I would expect them to probably do the same this year. Coming up, June 24th, now that I've got a plenty of heads up on this, from 2 to 4 over in, I believe it's Post Falls, Idaho. More information will be coming. But the Spirit of America rally will be on Saturday, June 24th. And it's hosted by the Spirit of America rally, Eastern Washington and North Idaho. So set the date, and you got more than a month to plan for this. And I'm trying to work it out to see if we can maybe do a live or a pre-rally kind of interview with some of the leaders and so forth. So anyway, just stay tuned, and we'll keep you apprised with this event as it's coming forward, because we want to make this a real good, positive event instead of some of these events we've seen in Portland and Seattle recently. And so let's take some civility to this. I hear we're coming up on a break, so stay tuned. We will be right back after this.
You will find consistent advice among financial advisors, conservative entertainers, preppers, and those who have legitimate concern about our currency and our government. They all recommend holding precious metals in some way and degree for varying reasons. I, too, recommend precious metals, especially holding it in your possession in a secure storage system for several reasons. One, it can protect you from the inflation of a fiat currency. Two, some coins can be used in bartering in an absolute emergency. And three, this is a good way to pass wealth down to your posterity. If you are looking to add precious metals to your portfolio or to your holdings, I would like to show you how you can get these metals for less than how I can get them. You heard that correct, for less than how I can get them. And I believe you cannot beat this price. Let me explain. My broker's company has, I believe, the lowest set price for all metals on the market. And just like all other precious metal companies, they offer commission to those who refer others, which most times this affects the bottom line price. Well, my broker's company does not adjust the price. They have a flat buy and selling price. And I have worked it out with my broker to take a portion of my commission to offer you a discount to let you save money on your purchases for slightly lower than the price, than the selling price that I get them for. It may be a slight discount, but a discount nonetheless. If you're interested in buying physical metals at the lowest price and learning more about this deal, contact me via email at metals, with an S at the end, at reclaimingtherepublic.org. And I will introduce you to my broker, and he can give you the pricing and how you will actually pay less than me. Again, that's metals, M-E-T-A-L-S, at reclaimingtherepublic.org. Thank you.
Okay, so we've survived that commercial break. We're still on the road and engaged in whatever it is that you're engaged in. Yeah, we want to make sure that the Spirit of America rally is a very civil rally. And, you know, you can just count on uncivilized people showing up. So hopefully there'll be good, effective ways to deal with the incivility that we can probably bank on. One of the things that, you know, was foremost for me in moving here, and I know that there are a lot of other people that are a part of the readout movement, and over on ACN, there was a show that I was airing close with. I would do my recordings while they were broadcasting and so forth, and it was the readout news or readout I believe it was the readout news. Anyway, I forget the name of the show. John Jacob Schmidt was the host. And I know that moving here, I didn't realize that there was this whole readout movement that started from this author who wrote a book about a lot of like-minded people wanted to move into this area. But when we moved here, it wasn't a readout desire. It was just kind of a desire of my wife and mine to have a level of redundancy in the home that we moved into, because we, coming from California, we had lots of power outages, and everything that happens in California happens later on throughout the nation. And as we know, the power outages are going to increase more and more and so forth. So when we bought our home, one of our objectives was to get a really good backup home generator, so that, you know, if we did have a power outage, we weren't impacted, you know, by that outage. And I think that was one of our best investments in moving up here. It was a lot of effort, and there were lots of things that had to be done and taken care of in doing that. And it may not have been, you know, a cheap thing to do when, you know, you go out on the night out of town and have a really good night. It's only maybe a couple hundred dollars. So it's a little more than a good night out on the town. But it's an investment in ensuring that you don't have to make the major dynamic changes, because life is difficult enough. Serving 20 years in the Marine Corps, I have found that regardless of how prepared you are, misery will find you quickly. And so it always happens at the wrong time, like when we had that big wind outage in 2015. That knocked out our power. Before we got our backup power generator, we were literally down for well over a day. And, you know, not having the niceties at that point in time may not have been as an impact, because we didn't have a work routine and those types of things at that point. But I know that once you're, you know, you got to go to work, you've got schedules and those types of things, dealing with power outages is just a huge impact. And this past weekend, Mylar balloons basically brought down San Bernardino for a good time frame, where 13,000 customers were out of electricity just because of a little Mylar balloon went into a substation. That's just a little myopic, you know, event that occurred on the grid. So, but why is this important? Because I truly believe that we already know that they've been telling us the instability and the age of the infrastructure and so forth of our grid. And if you didn't know, the federal government just recently nationalized the grid and basically kind of just take ownership. They just usurped it, because you got to remember that the grid is a public utilities, you know, type of companies throughout the nation. It's not really owned by the federal government, but they just put their flag in it just recently because of the perceived threats and so forth, and people quickly surrender our liberties for, you know, perceived threats, such as the perceived threats of terrorism with the Patriot Act and so forth. Anywho, they just awarded this grid activation and reactivation contract to a British contractor known as BAE Systems. And having done large enterprise engineering, one of the things that we had to do for live data center, live enterprise systems, is you kind of have to have a test partition, a fake system that you put on the side that, you know, you do your tests on for, you know, switching over, you know, having a loss and activating it and those types of things, so that you don't have to impact operations and customers. Well, in the growth of our grid system, there's never been a test partition set up. And I don't believe that the government's going to be funding an adequate test partition for our power grid, considering that all these public utilities have kind of have done things differently as they started from ground up. There's some commonalities and some standards, but they're not all the same. So anyway, it seems to me like it was pure genius on my part on my wife's part, in saying, yeah, let's get this generator so that we don't have these impacts. Because I believe with this contract and the future development that they're going to do in nationalizing our grid, that we'll be dealing with a lot more power outages. And some of them will be self-inflicted, where, you know, they're going to test, you know, a relaying to see, you know, how long a grid would go down, and they won't realize that something won't be able to take a load and the grid will go down for longer than they anticipated, because there's always those little devils in the details. When they try to do these things, even though their intentions may be honorable, the unintended consequences usually aren't that good. And so I know that with the weather and those types of things and events that we have here, that we wanted to have this, But the fact that we now have a system or a contractor that is going to be testing our grid, I just think it's great that we have this. And I'm we're very happy with our generator, our Generac. And so we're working, trying to find a good local contractor that, you know, can support both the install, servicing, and that type of stuff so that we can have as a sponsor for this show. And so I hope to be having all the details worked out for that so that you can get a savings and have a comfort and ease of working with the top-notch professionals in the area. So hopefully that will be coming sooner than the outages will start coming, because I truly believe that, contractors, and I've seen this, and having worked in the defense contracting industry and knowing, you know, there's nothing unique about Lockheed, Northrop Grumman, Boeing, BAE Systems, all of these companies, they make mistakes and they have outages, they have problems, and our grid, your electricity will be their problem as well as yours. And so everybody's problem will be kind of shared. But those people who have a backup generator, I think life will be a little bit less annoying for you when you get up and say, oh, I've got to get ready. And, you know, my routine is as such, and having power and being able to cook breakfast and doing the things I need to do, getting the kids off to school or what have you. Those are all going to be a lot easier if you don't have to deal with no power. And, you know, just getting your car out of your electrical garage door can be difficult enough if you don't have any power. So that's one of the reasons why we did the whole house, and we have all services covered by that generator. And you may want to do the exact same thing. Another thing, just so you know, is I'm a very, very, very picky dental patient. I could go into, you know, why, you know, loyalty is overrated and so forth. But I truly believe that a lot of people don't, you know, they just look at all dentists as the necessary evil. And again, I worked 20 years in the Marine Corps, and I've had experiences where a dentist felt that I didn't need any local anesthesia or Novocaine. Oh, we're not going to get close to the nerve. And I could barely walk out of that place because my toes were curled so tight because of the pain I was dealing with. And so anyway, let me get into this dentist stuff as soon as we come back from this break, because I'm hearing this and I don't have enough time to tell you this. So stay tuned, and I'm going to tell you a little bit about my dental history and more information about the Federalist Papers when we get back. Thank you. Okay, so right before that break, I was talking about my dental experiences and, you know, how picky I am regarding dentists. When I got out of the Marine Corps, I swore I was not going to sit in a chair with somebody that was not going to be sensitive to me, because I got to a point where just those drills, I hear those drills, and you're probably the same way. There's a lot of people that are just scared to death of the dentist, and I happen to be one of them. I don't scream like a girl, but I told my first dentist that I had a long-term patient doctor relationship with out of the Marine Corps was, if I feel pain, you'll feel pain, because you're sitting, because I'm in your arm reach, you're in my arm reach as well. So he got the message, and we had a very good rapport in making sure that when he was doing work or what have you, that I didn't have to feel the discomfort, because I do like to work and I don't like to have to go home because I've been so stressed out sitting in the chair from a lot of work and so forth. So since we've arrived here, we've been, you know, kind of looking at different dentists and so forth. And there's a lot of dentists up here, but we finally found one, and we will be actually a very patriotic dentist and very good. seasoned, and we will be actually working out a relationship with sponsorship and having them advertise. So I hope that you will consider changing your loyalty. If you're just not that pleased, then I think you will be with mine. If you didn't listen, then you may not have known that last week I was actually out. And so my voice may be a little bit strained because I was arrested and detained and kind of held at without my consent for a very long time. And needless to say, I prevailed and I'm back. For the most part, I was sick and I've got a bad case of bronchitis. But anyway, so if I have a coughing attack, I hope the panic in the engineer's eyes here will be equally met with a quick fill-in of a commercial or something. But I think we'll make it through the show. I will say this, though, that if you follow me on Facebook, you'll notice that, you know, I put a post out at the beginning of the day. I try to, and then right before, an hour or so before the show, so that you know we're going live and so forth. Last week I didn't do that, so it would have been a tip-off. Wow, something's going on. And then you probably would have heard that it was a rebroadcast. So if you follow me, GR Mobley on Facebook, or my Mobius Strip page on Facebook, you will get those advance warnings or notifications. You'll also get the content postings that I put up, and I've got my next executive summary that I'll be putting up in a couple of weeks regarding how we can start working at a local level and what you need to do. And so you'll be able to get into more of the content, because I believe there's lots of listeners that came from ACN. Like I said, I've got a lot of listeners that are listening over the internet, downloading podcasts and so forth, that are very attuned to trying to get something done. There's people that are leaving the Republican Party. There's just people that are disenfranchised with nationalism. And nationalism isn't just in the Democratic and the Republican Party. This is not a show about party. You'll find that nationalism exists in every single party. The Libertarian, Constitutional, they're all nationalists. And they are not able to change their focus away from the national stage. So that's what you have to do. And that's what I am, you know, giving you the information of what and how we can do this. So, like I said, if you follow me, you'll be able to see my content and posts and get the heads up. Like today, I have a special call-in contest, and I was supposed to try to get this in the very front end, and it's still kind of the front end of the show. But if you can call in, and let me see, what's that number to call in for? Looking for it. It's 844-320-4299. So if you can call in and you can tell me why we have a bicameral legislation in Congress and bicameral legislations in the state from my last two shows talking about Republicanism, then you get a signed copy of both of my books. These are my best sellers, by the way. So by all means, don't worry about giving your name on the air, like I was saying earlier as well. If you want to give us your real information off the air, that's fine. That's what we plan on doing. But all I need you to do is tell me why we have bicameral legislation, because the power, the greatest power, is vested in the legislative body. They're the ones that make the laws. They're the ones that control the budgets and so forth. The president or the executive of the states, they are only the executors of the law, and they're supposed to faithfully execute the laws, not create their own laws. They have no legislative power. We vested all the power in these bicameral legislations or legislators and houses. And so even the Supreme Court and the court systems do not have the ability to legislate. They can only go by what our representatives have created as laws and say, yeah, that's legal, or no, that's not legal. And they don't do a very good job at that either, but we all know about that. So I'm hoping that I can get a caller that can, you know, just tell me, why is it that we have a bicameral legislation? Why do we have a Senate and a house. So let me wrap up. And if you're listening, you might actually hear why we might have a bicameral, but I need somebody to call and tell me in their own words why we have the bicameral legislation. But to wrap up on republicanism, I need your help in trying to focus on the big picture and not in the framework of simple or pure democracy. We are a republic and a nation of laws and representatives and representation. We have had completely redefined the American term of republicanism into a representative government, which is not what American republicanism is. And so let's keep, again, our mind on some end goals for motivation purposes. Most everybody that understands the Constitution would love to repeal the 17th Amendment. If we get this and we can put the pressure on, there's no reason why we can't get the 17th Amendment repealed. How would you like to make the state governments Republican in form and representative of both the people and the counties once again? How would you like to permanently change the makeup and focus of the U.S. Senate so we don't have to worry about their swing to mob rule or democratic structure or the influence of special interests anymore? How would you like to turn the Senate into a bulwark of constitutional senators who do their job protecting state sovereignty once again, instead of shills for agendas and lobbyists who buy their loyalty? We also need those politicians interested in protecting their seats for the right reasons to get committed, get informed, and get result-oriented in doing their work here at the local level, whether that's here at the city council, county commissioners, or whether that is going to be, you know, in the state, in on the floor in our legislation. Either that, either they become result-oriented, or we need to start replacing this dead weight that is basically, you know, out here to get our votes, and then they basically kowtow and they mollycoddle the special interests so that they can get funding, so that they can keep their little circles of power and their cabals. Or we also have to get rid of these destructive enemies in our representation, these progressives who are working endlessly to take away liberties or get us to surrender them through their progressive programs and policies. Our model of republicanism or republican form of government was set into stone in the framework of our general government. A bicameral Congress, here you go, a bicameral Congress was set in place to represent the multi-layered sovereigns. These multi-layer sovereigns were a fundamental building block of our government, and they existed in the enlightened era of government. And this is why one can see how we have lost our way and our enlightenment, because we just consider the people as the sovereigns, and we are not the only sovereigns. When we move ourselves to being the only sovereigns, we move ourselves straight into the path of democracy where it's mob rule. And the framers understood the threat of that. And so Tytler, with the cycle of democracy, says that it only takes a matter of, you know, 100 years or so for a democracy to fail because people vote themselves more and more benefits like Greece, and they capitulate the system. Well, coming up on our last segment, I hear the music here. So please stay tuned. We're going to wrap up on republicanism when we get right back. Thank you very much. All right, so we're back. And as we went into the break, I was just talking about this multi-layered sovereigns that exist during the enlightened era of our government. The framers understood that states are entities kind of like corporations, and they understand the needs of the people differently than the local counties. And so that's why you have county seats that have disparate needs from people on the hinterland or the inland side here, the eastern side of Washington, compared to the coastal areas. And so the needs are different, and the requirements for infrastructure, building roadways, building codes and designs and so forth are different. And so understanding those things, somebody has to have a level of sovereignty to ensure that those types of things are protected. Because again, like I was saying, democracies tend to overrule themselves. And in the Federalist Papers, Hamilton and Madison pointed this out several times, that you have to be very careful to guard against the passions of the people to have an effective and efficient government, because you can't allow passion to drive things. That's what caused the French Revolution, when all of a sudden people were starving. The terrible thing, people were starving. Well, why were people starving? What caused the problem of people to starve? Was it a weather event, or was it that everything was being centrally controlled? Look at the millions of people that died in Russia because the centralized government was controlling everything. Almost every facet of our lives are being controlled by our centralized government, which it shouldn't be. We should have a lot more flexibility, a lot more freedom, and a lot more opportunities and engaging competition in our market spaces. But because we're so heavily regulated, we could easily be set up to fail, or easily be set up to lose power, like I was saying, because things are becoming centralized. Anyway, so the reason that we have bicameral legislation was because we had to have representation of the disparate, or the two different sovereigns that existed within a republic. The two sovereigns in the national republic are the people and the states. And the states are the ultimate sovereigns. And that's why when we amend the Constitution, do we take it to the people for a national vote like a president? No. It goes back to the states, and the state legislatures either pass it because there are representatives, or it goes into a convention in the states, and the states basically elect, or we, the people, elect delegates to go. And nine times out of 10, these are still a political class people, unless people start getting smart and start sending, you know, non-political, constitutionally aware people to these types of events. And then, you know, that's how you get good enlightening debates over an amendment and in that process. And that's how you can, you know, really determine whether this amendment is good for the republic and the people or not. But anyway, there's good news that I didn't go through this 2 days, 3 days of dissertations on republicanism, the history with Nixon and so forth, to basically tell you that, you know, we no longer live within a republican form of government. What I'm here to tell you, and the good news, is that we have a quick way of getting back to a republican form of government and returning sovereignty to the sovereigns that have lost their sovereignty through either education, through unintended consequences, for whatever reason. There are plenty of states, every single state is violating the republican form of government, because every single state has counties, and all of those counties are not the representatives within the state senates. Those counties should have a voice. And so in the state of Washington, we have 40 counties. There should be 40 senators, and each senator representing their county. That's it. The sovereigns must be represented. We are a representative government of sovereigns, and we have a multi-layer republican form of government. And so the sovereigns have to have the representation. Now, the people, that we would never allow our sovereignty and our representation to be taken from us, but because that's a government entity, And nobody understood that they were actually sovereigns. And most of them don't even know they're sovereigns, just like states don't know they're sovereigns. And that's the whole point of the show, is to wake people up and say, yeah, you are a sovereign. You have a responsibility and you have skin in this game, and it's your fault that we're in this mess. Anyway, I'm getting a little passionate on this, but the fact of the matter is that if we can move these states back into a true Republican form of government, then you will find that the state of California will no longer have a monopoly on all of these Democrats sitting in their Senate. They would probably have a Republican stronghold within the state Senate. Because if you look at the size of those counties, LA County, they'd only have one. San Francisco or that Bay Area county, they're only going to have one. They have right now multiple representatives. And it's the same thing in the state of Washington. There are five counties out here that represent legislative district 7. Instead, there should be five counties that have five separate senators, but now they only have one. So they've lost their voice. So what is the good news? Well, the good news is the fix. Who has the control over this? Who has the oversight? As it stands, there's been a long-term precedent set by the courts that the guarantee clause is not justiciable. In other words, the court has no preview. They consider the Republican form of government, the guarantee clause in Article 4, Section 4, and it starts right off. The United States guarantees that every state be a Republican form of government. And what that means is that we have to be Republican or we are in violation of a Republican form of government, or we're in violation of Article 4, Section 4 of the Constitution. And every state is. That's the whole point. And we can get every state back into a Republican form government if we understand who has the purview over this. And so let me say this. Guess whose jurisdiction this falls into? I will tell you that I will make another caller challenge, because I didn't get a caller for this one, for the bicameral. So I'll let this ride into next week, and I will make this a opportunity for somebody to call and tell me who has the overview of the guarantee clause and making sure that the states are Republican form of governments. Who has this power? All you got to do is look it up. It's not that hard. And you'll actually get smart on this. And then you go, oh, interesting. So if you can call and tell me this week or next, I will let you know next week. And so the opportunity to win the books will go out the window, but at least the information will be going in your head. And so if you'd like to get a signed copy of books, you can call at any time. And make sure you call next week at the very beginning of the hour so that you can tell me who has jurisdiction over the guarantee clause of the Constitution so that we can take this country back. That's the first step. And if we do this, remember all those steps of, you know, getting the repealing the 17th Amendment, because people are going to understand that the states as sovereigns are no longer represented in the Senate where they should be. And the people that they're representing are corporations, lobbyists, and so forth. And that's not how it's supposed to be. So repealing the 17th Amendment should be a very easy thing. And we can get into how to do that, and how to do that without even a convention or even having Congress, you know, lift too much of a finger, because I believe the states have all the power in this. And I will get into that. But if you'd like to, again, get a set of my books, just give me a call on that guarantee clause and who has the jurisdiction. And if you're considering, well, you know, what's so great about these books, read the reviews. I mean, there's this one very nice review from a gal in Michigan that referred me to Hayek Levin type of, you know, writing as far as information and so forth. And I tell you, you're drinking from a fire hose when you read my material, because you definitely get a lot of information. I know I do not have enough time to get into the Federalist Papers. So next week, we're going to jump straight into the Federalist Papers after we go through the local stuff. And so one of the things I'll give you a purview on is we're going to talk about more of the encroachments but I'm also going to get into the representations and jurisdiction issues as Hamilton and Madison spoke about these things in the Federalist Papers. So you're going to get a lot more information, and you're going to get a profound knowledge of what you need to do in helping reclaiming the Republic. So tune in next week, same time, and we will educate you and get you more active and informed. Thank you very much. God bless.